107 FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings on this Monday. Sean, Kelly, Dalton, Kane. Dr. Bill with the good news has the fall-like air, even though he says we're still above average in temperature, but it sure felt nice today in the 40s, 48 now at our studios, heading for high in the 70s yesterday. Beautiful as well, sparkling blue sunshine out there, and some rain back in the mix this week. We'll get another update from Dr. Bill coming up shortly. All right, on the docket this morning here, number one, yes, we were talking during the break, like I think most offices, most shops, most job sites this morning, somebody's going to mention, hey, man, you see nobody won the lottery? see that? So the stats are, as of this morning, here we go, which if you haven't caught this from a gazillion other news reports this morning, so nobody won, rolled over the weekend for Mega Millions and Powerball. Let's see. The $1.6 billion for Mega Millions and $620 million for Powerball. Of course, you could parlay them and win them both. But
yeah, that would be insane.
But okay. So $1.6 billion. So you got that. If you take what's the take home here? That's always about, like, I see if it's worth my while. What's the take home after taxes? So or the walk away. If you did lump sum or doled out over time. All right. So for Powerball, you would get $354 million with the lump sum, $904 million for Mega Millions. So you actually wouldn't be a Billionaires Club member. Let's see here. But you could probably parlay that in some good investments.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, also, you can knock on the door of billionaireism.
Yes, but you wouldn't make the hot billionaire chart list or something. Federal government, by the way, will come looking for 37%. I've seen as high as 50%. I'm interested why the 'cause 37%, I think, is top effective tax rate, but isn't there a winnings, like a, it's almost 50%? I don't know.
That sounds about right. But I'm surprised. They said 280 million tickets were sold for the Friday Mega Millions drawing. And what did they say? 1 in 303 million chance. So it's almost surprising that there hasn't been a winner to this point. But I happened to be in Louisiana for the weekend, and I might have gone into a convenience store gas station and asked about the lotteries. I was like, what's this Mega Millions I'm hearing about? But I talked to the woman who gave me my Mega Millions ticket and was just kind of asking questions. She said just about every single, and this is one gas station in Lafayette, Louisiana. Mm-hmm. She said just about every single person that's come in has been buying either Mega Millions or Powerball tickets or both, and that it's more than she'd ever seen in her life.
Well, you know, most people do their research because if there has been a convenience store or a gas station that has won in the past, then people try to go there in droves because if you're not familiar, whomever sells a winning ticket, that convenience store gets a kickback.
Yeah, they get of the action.
Yeah, and so, you know, that's when you get, it's kind of like with sports, you get into your superstitions, like, okay, I'm gonna make a left turn, then a right turn, and then I'm gonna park in this same spot, and then I'm going to pick these numbers, and some people go with the quick pick.
Right.
So they allow the machine to pick their numbers, and other people go with birth dates, you know, important days in their lives, and when you're so close, you think about, okay, should I have picked a different cousin's birthday?
What that does is that just gets people coming back to the trough of giving their money away in the lottery.
You asked about the immediate cash option.
Yeah.
$904 million for Mega Millions, and for Powerball, it's $354.3 million.
Yeah, so those are your lump sums, and then, of course, after that, you pay the taxes on it. So, you know, of course, that puts you in some rarefied air, and it's interesting how these lotteries work as the snowball builds itself. In other words, when it gets up to a certain amount, then there becomes all of us in media and all the people talking about it, the excitement, and then more people pile it. It grows logarithmically more than incrementally once it gets to a certain size because all the hubbub, and, you know, like we said last hour, I've talked about for 10, 15 years of my life working with people, I guess I'll go, it's over 100 million. You get those people now that, you know, it's not worth their trouble for 10 million because they couldn't use 10 million, but it is worth their trouble for, you know, pushing $1 billion.
And everyone's reporting $1.6 billion, but by the time this is drawn again tomorrow night, the Mega Millions, it'll be over $2 billion.
You think it'll get another $400 million?
I think so.
And that's why I put that in the news headline, is to let people know the more people that buy in, is the more the numbers will continue to grow. So some people are trying to, you know,
less odds you'll have of winning.
This is very true. Or on the flip side, the more odds, the better odds you have of winning if you are dreaming big.
No, maybe. Really. Okay. It's just less odds. The more people in it, the more combinations.
I don't know. Well, CNBC is reporting that when you asked about the tax situation. So,
so they're saying CNN's saying 37%, but I always thought that on winnings, but it was 50.
But I'm on CNBC.
Yeah, so what do they say?
They're saying regardless of whether you go with the annuity or cash option, the federal government will shave 24% off the amount before it reaches you. That withholding would reduce a Mega Millions cash option by $217 million to $687 million and Powerball by $85 million to $269.3 million. So you should anticipate owing more to the IRS at tax time.
Okay, somebody help us with this because we've now seen 37%. You just said 24%. These are news stories both published this morning.
My money would be with CNBC since they are, you know, known for crunching numbers.
But how the heck can
financials?
I mean, but how do you? Where do you? I mean, I just gotta ask a fair question here. I get what you're saying, but how do you just pull 37 out of your air?
I don't know.
If that's not the number. And I'd always thought on winnings because 37% is top effective tax rate, right? But you're not taxed on winnings the same way as income. Mm-hmm. I think that's a different.
And there are some states that allow you to be anonymous and other states that don't allow you to. They have to post your picture and say your name. And so that means you have to have increased security, of course. Powerball and Mega Millions jackpot, when it comes to winners, they get anywhere between 3 to 6 months up to 1 year to claim their prize. You sure hope someone didn't purchase a ticket and then do their laundry and they left the ticket in their pocket.
Yes. We have actually a story coming up a little bit about that. That's the biggest unclaimed lottery.
The very first Mega Millions winner never claimed their prize out of New York, a $68 million prize back in 2002 that no one claimed.
It's probably not worth their time going to pick it up. Dave is in Mobile up next. Hey, Dave.
Hey, good morning.
Morning.
Good morning.
I'm sorry. I kind of have an inverse view of this, and I just wanted to address it, maybe see what your thoughts are. I do the opposite of what most people do. You mentioned how people won't show up for $10 million, but they'll show up for $100
million. Yeah.
I won't show up for the $100 million because, point I think my dad told me a long time ago, he goes, you win a little bit of money, you own it. You win a lot of money, it owns you. And I was wondering if you were going to discuss that, you know, or maybe a topic of discussion. Managing all that large amount of money is more stress than anything else.
You know what? Throw me in that briar patch. I have seen those stories. I mean, we've talked about it before, the people that get the big winnings and it all falls apart on them. I'm willing to risk that. Because I think I could handle it. Obviously, you would get advice and all those things before you would get into this. Like Kelly said, some places you can be anonymous, some places you can't. I'm not scared of that.
The reason for that because it's a program that generates money, so they want the publicity for winners.
Sure. Why wouldn't they? Yeah, you are part of the advertising, all that. And thank you. Texter said this, and they're right. That's what I meant to say. Same odds of winning. You are correct. Mm-hmm. Just like the card deck. It's more chances of splitting the pot.
Right. Whether there's one entry or 300 million
entries. Right. Your numbers are your numbers, no matter how many other numbers there are. But you could have better chances of somebody having that same string of numbers.
I like playing after someone has hit the jackpot because everybody is just so mad.
That's a smart move. Mm-hmm. That's when to go in, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We're coming right back. A lot of chat. We'll be infused with some other subjects when we return. What, 821 FM Talk 1065. Segment of the show brought to you by 1-800-GOT-JUNK. That's my buddy Trey and his crew working in Mobile and Baldwin County's commercial properties, residential properties, storage units. If you have a storage unit that you could even be a participant in one of those storage wars show. In other words, you have no idea what's in there. You'd have to be guessing as well as they opened up that storage unit. Maybe it's time to quit paying every month on that and get rid of the junk. If you've got a junk room instead of a junk drawer in your house, you got family, friends coming over for the holidays, maybe you open up that guest room. Remember back when you had a guest room? Remember the good old days before it was piled full of stuff? Listen, get the junk gone. Get on your way to having a very happy holiday season. It's a lot easier to get to the Christmas decorations when you get the junk out from in front of them. Time to clear out the house. Declutter. 1-800-GOT-JUNK. Pick up the phone and make that call. 1-800-GOT-JUNK or go online and check them out at 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com. National company, but local franchisee. Trey working right here in Mobile and Baldwin counties. All right. 822 FM Talk 1065. Let's see. Yeah, it says, Terry says, if you when you make sure you quietly move to Florida before you claim your prize, because there's no state tax. That is correct. Yeah, no state tax there. But there, you know, Florida, of course, you've got different taxes down there, property taxes, but you'd have to, I think you'd probably just buy a reasonable house there, Terry, live there, then claim your prize and avoid the state tax on it. What is Alabama, the 5%? Well, I don't know, but I don't know what it is on winnings. Remember, like, that's why those two different numbers were bothering me, because I thought it was higher than the regular effective tax rate. I thought on winnings, like gambling winnings, mm-hmm. and I know it's tough for people to hear gambling and lottery, but it's still gambling, y'all. Though it's the wine spritzer of gambling world, it is still gambling, and I thought there was a higher tax rate on winnings.
Well, I do, you know, there are people that don't really have the disposable income that go out and play every single lottery, and they just know that they're going to strike it rich, and I wish that people would know that, hey, you're not going to win. The odds are really not in your favor. It's fun to go out and play it, and I don't think that you should be banned from playing it because somebody wants to tell you how to live your life, but also want people to know that, hey, if you've only got 20 extra bucks to spend in a week, probably not the wisest thing to go out and buy lottery tickets.
That'd be correct. That'd be good. Not a good allocation of resources. Donnie says, I'd sent airplane tickets anonymously to family and close friends for a meeting worth your while in St. Lucia, then have a huge reception and reveal everybody in the room was now a millionaire, then celebrate. That's pretty cool.
Oh, that's awesome.
But then I would say, you're a millionaire, don't come asking me for any more. I don't know if young people play that. This is why, you know, I've said over time, it's the opiate, right? It's the opiate of the masses is why lottery is popular, because it's not about winning, because the odds of that happening are so rare. Mm-hmm. It's the fantasizing beforehand that people do after they pay their tax there, their stupid tax on putting that money in. And they're like, what would I do? There's every story online this morning. It's like, what would you do? Here's what you could do, and here's, you get a financial advisor and do all this stuff. Okay, let that come around. I mean, I'm going to attempt to buy at least one of Ted Turner's ranches in this country, and that's where I'd start with that big one.
I'd go buy the Imus Ranch?
No, because Ted's are way bigger. He's got he actually has the, Ted Turner owns the largest herd of wild roaming genetically intact buffalo or bison in the United States.
Is it Wyoming?
Yes. Montana, Southwest Montana. Okay. Yep. You drive through that joker when you leave Bozeman heading down towards Ennis in Southwest Montana. You drive through it for it's like 40 minutes, it seems like. I remember riding with a guy and I said, are we still in the ranch? He said, yeah. I said, over there, that ranch? He said, yeah, that's still the ranch. And I said, wow.
It sounds beautiful. It just sounds breathtakingly. I lived in Billings, and the reason why I said, I guess, Wyoming is because, you know, you have Yellowstone there. Mm-hmm. And that park encompasses three states. Mm-hmm. And so you think about just the beauty that you're describing, and then Yellowstone Park.
Yeah, he's just right on the north. Where Ted is would be the northwest corner of Yellowstone. So he's between Bozeman and Ennis, and Ennis is about, I'd say, 40 miles from the park down the Madison River before you get in the park. So
and bison's really good, too.
Yes, it is. Oh, I do dig the bison.
His livestock, are they branded with TNT or CNN brands? Which one do they have on them?
I did want to share with you, because you think we were talking about Mega Millions and Powerball, military.com /spouse buzz talks about, you know, what do you do if you're a winner and you're in the military? That's one of those questions, because I remember for so many years hearing, they may call it scuttlebutt, but hearing that, you know, if you win, you can't be in the military. You know, those are the type of underground.
What do you mean? You can't, a person in the military wouldn't be allowed to win, or if you're in the military and you win, you can't be in?
I heard some of that underground before, but never was quite sure because I didn't win anything, so it really wasn't something that I looked into. But according to military.com, they have three frequently asked questions, and the question is you have to pay taxes, but where? And they describe to you what you need to do if you do win, whether you're a military spouse or the military member. They said, and you think taxes were complicated before winning the lottery. If you do win the entire Mega Millions and elect to take the lump sum, you could be ultimately keeping as little as $276 million, as we talked about. And here's why. Because federal, state, local, and city taxes, those will clamp you. Those will get you. How does that change if you're a service member? Depending on your home of record, you could be in luck. Residents of Alaska, Florida, New Hampshire, South Dakota, Tennessee, Texas, Washington, or Wyoming pay no personal income tax.
There you go. But so what if you're sure you're going to win, go ahead and make your move.
What if you purchase a ticket in another state, but you're a resident of California or Pennsylvania? Those states do not tax lottery winnings. But if you purchase the ticket in state, that means for those two states, you may still have to pay lotto taxes if you file as a resident there, but you're stationed elsewhere.
You know what? I'll deal with all those problems when I...
I'll post that for
you. It's a lot more fun to think of what you would spend the winnings on than how much you'd have to pay in taxes. I'll say that much.
Yeah, that's for sure. And yeah, by the way, too, the actual acreage, somebody asked. Yeah, it's like 113,000 acres. This one of many one of many ranches owned by Ted Turner. He's got them in Argentina and Arizona. But yeah, the one in Montana I'm talking about, 113,613-acre ranch.
That would take a long time to cut.
Yeah, well, no, it's mostly, it's got some ponderosa pine, but a lot of open prairie as well. So, and you got I think probably if you get it purchased, the bison would come with it. It'd be, throw those bison in.
Can I add one more thing, please?
Sure.
The second question is, if you win, you won't have to be in the military anymore, maybe. According to this article, the rumor that if you win the lottery, you can get out of your military contract is actually true. As long as you are not essential personnel, your service very likely could grant you an early honorable discharge as, quote, unique circumstances. So there you have
it. Unique, very unique.
Well, you would become a lot more valuable asset to the enemy if they knew that you had that kind of money. You would. I was actually talking with my brother about that this weekend, because if you did and you were serving overseas, then all of a sudden you become a jackpot for them.
But the enemy could be on American soil. The enemy called somebody who has a lot of bills, and they want that money too. So you'd hope that wouldn't be the situation. But these are some of the questions that are asked, especially for people who move from base to base, duty station to duty station. But again, I will tweet this out. It's from military.com.
All right, good deal. We talked about it in the 6 o'clock hour. I think police in Mexico trying to head off the caravan of Central Americans trying to reach the U.S. I'm wondering about this. Because, it says a caravan of thousands of footsore Central American migrants who say they're seeking refuge from violence in their countries are moving northward as of Sunday under close watch of an army of Mexican federal police in riot gear. President Trump has made immigration a major campaign issue. But they go on to talk, President asserted the caravans are a disgrace to the Democrat Party, changed the immigration laws now. Mexican officials said federal police were staying in front of the caravan, which is stretched out about 2 miles and comprised mostly of people from Honduras and Guatemala, many of whom say they're determined to reach a U.S. border 1,700 miles away. Mexican officials have warned the migrants they should apply for asylum in order to legally stay in Mexico. That's what we talked about last week. Many of the asylum seekers said they fear that they would be deported if they voluntarily went to a shelter or immigration camp. Okay, how is it they can't stop the migrant group? I mean, you have they said the Mexican police there, federal police, set up this blockade. They were going to stop them, but they couldn't stop them. Now, is the Mexican federal police force that dysfunctional, or are they really not trying?
BuzzFeed has a big write-up on this, and you could probably guess which side BuzzFeed's taking in this battle, but they did write, a large contingent of federal police at one point had descended on the highway, but packed up and retreated as the caravan advanced, only to reassemble hours later farther up the highway. More than a dozen buses carrying uniformed men and women parked on the side of the highway. A police helicopter even circled low over the marchers, and a police patrol car drove past the caravan, but there was no effort to stop the marchers' forward progress.
We'll talk a little more about that when we get back. Also, yes, we are within 15 days of the midterms. We'll talk a little bit about that. And this journalist that's gotten so much attention, Khashoggi, what's the story now? We'll give it to you when we get back.
Thanks, Kane. 836 now on FM Talk 106.5. This is Mobile Mornings. Right now we head over to McConnell Automotive and talk to Mitch McConnell. Hey, Mitch.
Dalton, how are you, brother?
I am doing great. And I'm looking at the calendar right now. We're coming up on the end of October. And that means the end of a good sale for McConnell Automotive.
Yeah, Dalton. I mean, we have 9 days left. So anybody listening, they need to take advantage of it. Just for the simple fact, Dalton, that we've got these 18 models as the 19s are coming in. And the math, Dalton, kind of on a Z71 adds up to about $12,000 off the sticker price, which is crazy. It's probably $2,000 or $3,000 more. And there's some advertisement out there that says that, you know, you can get $13,000 or $14,000 off. And realistically speaking, Nobody gives a bigger discount than McConnell Dalton. So sometimes dealers add profit and then kind of tell you how to give you a bigger discount than they do. So we never do that. But the cool thing is we have the 2019 truck, Dalton, which just will blow everybody's mind. So customers can shop between both. And then Yukons, Acadias, Terrains, everything GMC has is included in our October Fest. So people need to act fast.
That's some great stuff. Thanks, Mitch. Have a good one.
Thanks, buddy.
That's Mitch McConnell. Go see him and the crew at McConnell Automotive on Dolphin Street, just east of I-65.
Right, 837 FM Talk 106.5. Grab some phone calls here at 343-0106, 343-0106. Also, I get an update on this intrigue out of Turkey and the Saudis and Khashoggi, the whole nine yards. But first, let's go to Thomas in Theodore. Hey, Thomas.
Good morning. Thank you for having me on.
It's our pleasure, man.
All right, and a happy Halloween.
Yes, early Halloween to you as well.
Hi, Thomas.
Yes, listen, I'm very nervous. Haven't called in a while. Sean and Finley and all the... Finley, my daughter, quickly, went and heard your husband speak, and she called me after she left it, and she just thinks a whole lot of good about your husband. Think he's a great guy.
I agree with her. You have a smart daughter. Thank you, Thomas.
Well, she just got a realtor's license. I'm proud of her for doing something in her life, you know. Maybe she can fix my roof.
He listens every morning, so I'm sure he will say thank you as well.
Okay, well, yeah, well, we got a tarp on my roof from Katrina. Wow. Anywho, you know, this parade's caravan, it's very suspect to me. Like you were saying, Sean, the army down there, they can't stop these people. Now, Bradley Byrne went down there. He was in Honduras and Guatemala, okay, a number of weeks ago, right?
Right.
I want to know what he was saying to these people down there. And last week, Pompeo, he's down in Mexican City talking city officials down there. I kind of think that Trump wants this parade to get to the border because he wants money for that goofy wall he wants to build.
Really? Okay, so your idea is, wait a second, your idea is there's a major conspiracy going. So AL1's Congressman Bradley Byrne, who we talked to a couple weeks ago on the show, went down to Guatemala, went to Honduras, was meeting with officials down there to try to up U.S. influence with the idea that the Chinese are moving in there, going to a military base down there. He was actually, you think, possibly down there getting a group of people together to caravan north to the border, right? That's what you're saying?
Oh, no. I'm saying
that
he probably talked to them about the missile contract with Russia. No, I'm not saying he's doing anything.
Then what are you saying?
But a serious suspect.
You can't say that. That's like saying, with all due respect, you know, I mean, you're saying something.
Okay.
What are you saying? I mean, are you intimating that? Is that what you're...
Okay, well, tell me why Bradley Byrne's not coming to Mobile before the election, and he's going down to Bayou La Patria, Sarah Land, Lillian, and he ain't coming where the people are smart.
Whoa. So you're saying people...
And
you're
doing it at night, too.
Wait, you're saying people in Lillian, people in Bayou La Patria, and people in Sarah Land are not as smart as people in Mobile?
That's true.
Ladies and gentlemen,
Thomas
for County Commission.
Hot
there he is, Thomas. There you go.
Well, you know, they are scheduled, if the Mexican police don't stop them, which it appears that they're not, at least to this point, they are scheduled to get here right around the midterms, which will be...
1,700 miles, so they keep it a good pace. Let's see.
It'll be interesting.
How many miles a day are they making? You know, and it's...
And they are having to stop days at a time to rest and recuperate. Because, I mean, these are long, long marches.
You know, it's really good, though, when you talk about Representative Byrne. He is very active on social media. And I think that anytime people, if they can't make it to the town hall meetings, they can tweet him. And he also posts his different announcements on YouTube. Very, very proactive with getting his message out.
Yeah, my beef with it this morning that Thomas might have been referencing, I was beefing this morning in the 6 o'clock hour, wasn't just Congressman Byrne, is pretty much all government. You'll have these town hall meetings or government meetings, and they're all during the daytime.
Right, when people are at work.
And, you know, they're like, well, they're not attended. People, because we're at work.
You know what I saw? this may could be, maybe this isn't, because I know we have a vast listening audience, right? So recently one of our children, there was a parents' day, and it was during the day,
yeah.
And very few parents were there. But what they did was they live streamed the meeting for those parents who couldn't make it there, because they have a YouTube channel. And if you subscribe to the YouTube channel, mm-hmm. you're able to watch it from the comforts of your home, your desk, or whatever. That way, parents can stay engaged.
No, and that part is great. But I, you know, is quite often from a local, county, state level, there'll be meetings that are in the evening, and they'll yes. be like, "Wow, look at the turnout at this thing. It must be a hot subject."
Right.
No, it's the turnout is we're not at work. That's the turnout.
Making it accessible to all is great, but sometimes people don't want people there, and that's why they're planning these meetings at a certain time.
Yeah, well, you know, I don't know. It seems like every government meeting from every level or whatever, it's uh-huh. all during the day.
But you know, with Representative Byrne, I will just say, sorry to drag this along, but I will say I have seen that he has morning and afternoon and evening meetings in various cities. So mm-hmm. he has a nice mix of meeting times. But there are some people who, and I can't think of their names right now, but who tend to always go toward a certain time frame.
Sure. Yes,
I just wanted to add that.
I agree. All right, let's go to Fireball next. Hey, Fireball.
Hey guys, y'all doing a fantastic job.
Thank you, man.
Let me say this, and please let me say it before I get interrupted. I know there's a lot of really good Democrats out there, but I feel like this midterm election here is mainly good against evil. You see what the high-ranking Democrats are doing with this country, with everything. And I just want to urge everybody to get out and vote and pray about what they're voting about. And that's all I got to say.
There you go. All right, appreciate it, Fireball. What about the amendments? Have y'all researched that? I mean, I'm just throwing that out there. I talked about them before on the show, and we will talk about them again as we get closer to election day. But there are four ballot amendments mm-hmm. on there. I mean, all the attention goes to the people that are on ballots, but there are also amendment items, and you need to look through those. And they're supposed to be in more regular speak, like I can understand. There was a law probably, what, 3-4 years ago in the legislature, because we had a series of ballot amendments that were like so confusing.
They're
so
like confusing. Riddles.
Yeah, they were like riddles. It was, you know, the like if voting yes actually meant no, and mm-hmm. no voting mm-hmm. meant yes. So they've changed that a little bit, but there's still a couple of them are just add-on stuff, which is, you know, something that drives me crazy. Stuff where you take something that's not going to happen or a law that's already there and then, like, double down on it. There's others that are specific to the age of people on the University of Alabama board. And all mm-hmm. this, I mean,
you don't have to cry about it.
Just getting choked up.
Yes. the amendments always get Sean.
Doesn't
do.
It, though?
I know, I'm sensitive about the amendments. But you ought to read through those before you go in. I know we will spend a lot of time as all groups and people talking about the human beings. It's Ivey versus Maddox, right? It's mm-hmm. Siegelman versus Marshall. It's all these, and those are very, very important. But in addition, you have these ballot items, and I would suggest this. I usually don't come on here and tell people how to vote,
ooh.
But if you, here you go, hot take. If you want to, so if you do not uh-huh. have any idea about a ballot amendment, yes. something on there, you don't have to fill in the Scantron. If you don't fill anything in, if you don't know what you're voting on. Now, that doesn't mean one way or another, but if you're like, duh, I don't know, I'm going to fill this one in, quit doing that.
And if you go to vote411.org, you can actually see the amendments. I'm looking at one right now.
Yeah, and it's, you know, it's easy to study, but you need to do it before you get there.
Well said.
Right, 852 FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings. Glad to have you along on this Monday, which, by the way, if you are interested in red snapper management or mismanagement by the feds, pretty darn good management by the states. Gulf Council this week is meeting here in Mobile. They moved that meeting around. It's our turn here. They start tomorrow morning with a reef fish meeting at 8:30. We'll talk more about that on the midday show, plus post it up as a podcast when we talk to Scott Bannon, Director of Alabama Marine Resources, about that during the midday show today. Also, we have time. We'll get to the Khashoggi story that is just leaves me scratching my head as you know, what is next?
next in this. Also, grab some calls at 343-0106. And let's go to Carl and Foley next. Hey, Carl.
Hey, Sean. How you doing?
Doing good, man. What's up?
Nothing much. I just want to call in and say first and tell you that I enjoy y'all's show. It's a good show, and it's very interesting and informative. I just want to comment on the two previous callers you had. The one gentleman that commented about the people in Lillian and over here around Foley not being smart. He's obviously must be a yellow dog Democrat.
And he's also he's a trouble starter. That's one of the reasons we love Thomas, but yes.
Everybody has the right to say what they want to say. That's a good thing. But the second caller, talking about getting out to vote, I'm a big supporter of the president, and I think that we need, as conservatives, we need to get out and talk to a lot of these people that are on the borderline, i.e. blue dog Democrats. You need to call your relatives, talk to them, and just ask them, what is it that President Trump has done that you didn't like or you don't approve of? And I've got some acquaintances that are riding the fence, and they can never answer that question with any intelligence. And I think that it's just a shame that we've got a president that is doing as much as he's doing for the country and for individuals, that we can't get in there and support him. And we let a small group of boisterous people who have nothing whatsoever to offer the country as a whole. I spent 30 years in the military, 2 tours in Vietnam.
Thank you.
And I'll tell you what, you know, it's all I can do without really getting severely upset with these people, you know. And if they persist in doing what they're doing and acting and carrying on like they're doing, somebody's going to get hurt.
Yeah, I wonder, though, Carl, how much of that is the responsibility? How much of that is, in other words, if somebody didn't like President Trump, how much is that the responsibility of Kay Ivey, who's on our ballot, right, for the gubernatorial cycle? Or if somebody loves the president, how much of that is directly related to going to vote for, I say Kay Ivey or Steve Marshall or anybody down the line? I'm not trying to just be specific to one, but how much are Washington politics and party affiliation, are they directly correlated to how somebody would vote in their home state?
Well, with me, I don't really trust anybody in Washington, to be honest with you. I mean, I trust Barry Byrne. Matter of fact, I'm on the way right now over to Lillian. I'm going to the Navy base and coming back and dropping in on his town hall meeting because... Right. To me, Bradley Byrne is an honest politician, and he represents Baldwin County and its constituents in a very open manner. And, you know, I realize he's only one of 500-something people up there, but at least honest with his constituents, and he tells us what he thinks, and he listens to what we say. So that's about the best thing I could say about
him. That's pretty good. It's a good thing to say about any politician, Carl. I appreciate the call. I do want to say this to add on to what you're saying. The story from The Hill over the weekend, President Trump's approval rating before the November elections has jumped to a higher level than former President Obama's ahead of the 2010 midterms. According to, and always watch the polling, you know, there's all kind of different polls. And once again, you believe, you know, half of them, you may be a quarter correct, as we learned in 2016. But yeah, here's one out. A poll found that Trump's approval rating is his highest level at 47%. Former President Obama's approval rating was 45% at the same time in 2020. I mean, in 2010. If you're looking to like gauge, you know, if one equals the other, which a lot of the pointy heads will tell you that is true, that the presidential approval rating will be seen in the midterm, even though the president isn't being elected. Their branding mm-hmm. will either help or so. It was 47% right now for President Trump. It was 45% for President Obama. Then Obama's approval rating was reaching a record low in October of 2010, just before his party lost a significant number of seats in the House and Senate. So the argument would be has been for a long time that the Democrats were going to have a big time in the midterms in Washington, but now that narrative has been turned around and coming back towards 50-50, right? That they're not really sure because of the aftermath of a couple things. Kavanaugh hearing and a couple others have energized what was going to be used as a way to get Democrats out to the polls is also going to get Republicans out to the polls.
And there's still at least 2 weeks we have to go here. And I think that a couple stories could help shift some voting on both sides. The Khashoggi story, right. How the U.S. responds to that, but also this caravan that's headed to the United States. But you can vote right now on FMTalk1065.com. Our poll question is what you think will happen during the midterm elections, what the results will be. Will the Republicans keep both the House and the Senate? Will they only keep the House, only keep the Senate, or will Democrats win both the House and the Senate? You can vote right now on FMTalk1065.com.
Yeah, we'll tally up those votes and talk to you about them during the midday.
I think it's safe to say, though, even the polls that we're looking at, good or bad, we can go back to 2016 and how wrong.
That's what I'm saying.
So many polls were.
Remember how much we all used to rely on polls?
Right.
Say, maybe in media more than we should have, said, well, this is trending because these polls say it. Then you go back. 2016 did a big reset on that.
You know, though, you're an adult, or when you're getting older, when you look at the margin of error first.
Yes.
And then you look at
the methodology sampled.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Who was sampled? How long were they sampled? During which days? And it just comes down to, you know, November 6th. I mean, polls are open 7 a.m., close at 7 p.m., and watching those numbers roll in, that's going to be the biggie.
And
I
think the numbers for turnout, because I don't know what's going on in everybody's head and every person's life, but I feel like opinions are fairly solid when it comes to the president and what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
But will those people get up and go, I mean, you could sit and I'll tell you what I ought to do.
Yeah,
you could
do
that all day long, but if you don't go vote, you know, then it's... And Alabama's not exactly in a crucial point in the national political scheme in this cycle.
Mm-hmm.
But there, you know, we definitely have things that are super important to us right here at home. And as I always say, the government closest to you is the most important, even though it doesn't get the attention.
Are we going to take bets again? As to the percentage of turnout?
Yeah, we'll probably do that.
I'm so looking forward to it.
I'm going so low.
$1.
That's right.
Price is right.
Laura Ingraham on the way next. See you at noon for midday. Y'all have a great one.